Hey everyone, welcome to another Cigar Chat. This is episode 83. Cigar Chat's broadcast worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Appreciate all you guys do for us every day, keeping us safe. I'm Logan from Cigar Federation. As you can see, my usual partner in crime, who is not as cool as me, is not here. But we have a sub in, which I might like to add is way better than Rob, my favorite Canadian cigar surgeon. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. Hello from the lukewarm north. Hope everyone's having a good night tonight.
You sound so Canadian, dude. I love it. It's awesome.
Thank you, brother.
I know, man. Texas of Alberta, Texas of Canada. I know. I love it, dude. So, and for our guest tonight, we have George Rodriguez from Rodrigo Cigar. So, how you doing, George?
I'm doing great. Splendid. Fantastic. Always so, great to be here.
I know. I appreciate it. It's been a while since you've been on the show. I think it's been, what, like 9 months probably?
It's been at least that long. I think we talked, I don't know, probably right after IPCPR, and then I was doing all this touring with cigar stuff, and then I tried to get back to my skateboarding roots and broke my leg and took myself out of commission for a while, so that's a whole other story, but yeah, it's been a while. And
you don't have to make up a big story, George. You can just say that Logan really pissed you off and you didn't want to come back on the show. It's okay.
Hey, man, that's okay other that. People in the House of Amelia. Me and George are tight. Me and George are cool.
That's right. Rob's not here, though, so on the other hand, you know, it's open season.
Hey, man, exactly. Rob is a Debbie Downer. So I do have to ask, you were talking about skateboarding. I remember a while back you posted a picture on Instagram of someone's ankle with about 17 screws in it, and I've been meaning to ask, was that actually your ankle?
Yeah, it was my shin, yes.
Your shin, but it was you.
Fibula had yeah, just the way it hit, and, you know, I'm not 14 years old anymore, so just, you know, kind of broken a bunch of different places, and they had to put Humpty Dumpty's leg back together again with a bunch of screws and titanium plates and all that stuff. So the marvels of modern science put it back together again, and I'm back. I'm kicking ass, but I'm not slam dunking any basketballs or doing any, you know, half pipes. So.
Well, I mean, the way that picture looked, man, I mean, did I smell a malpractice lawsuit in there? Because, I mean, that thing looked wicked, bro. Thing looked wicked.
Yeah, it still is wicked. I want to get it all removed and, like, make a cigar holder out of it or something. So.
No, your cigar line called the malpractice. It sounds like it's coming up.
The cigar line called the malpractice. Dude, I love it.
I'll call off the malpractice if you make me a cool titanium cigar rest out of it. That's
it looks like Wendy. That's awesome, dude. So, well, before we get into the questions, and I wanted to let everyone know we're going to be doing things a little bit different tonight. As you know, with the show every week, since Rob's not here, we have the ability to have some creative freedom. And typically we'll interview manufacturers, we'll talk about what their lines, you know, what they like, a lot of the same generic stuff. Well, tonight we're doing things a little bit different. George, one of my favorite people in the industry, is because he is very raw and very uncut, and if you ask him a question, he'll pretty much give you a straight answer. So tonight what we're going to do is, instead of a surgeon and I asking a lot of our own questions, we're going to take, and we've got probably 80 questions piled up already, but the purpose of the questions is really to ask, you know, anything you want to know about the cigar industry, you know, questions about how tobacco is processed, how, you know, who does what, who cheats on their tax, I don't know, whatever. Everything is open for open season. Now, before we start, though, George, I do want to take a second because we are going to be doing some giveaways in the last segment for people who ask questions. And a lot of people have asked around the Corona project that you're hopefully coming out with. It's something that's been on the table for the last couple years. Let's take a second and just talk briefly about the Corona project and what that's all about, and then we'll get into the questions.
Okay, sure. Well, the Corona project is just like it sounds. You know, it's a project that we came up with, wanted to focus on traditional Vitola, and this is going back a couple of years, right? So this is kind of before, this is actually while everyone was starting 60 ring gauges and really getting into that, you know, we were thinking going the opposite direction and getting back to, you know, real traditional cigar making. And so the whole concept actually came from my buddy Brett Bowersox, who's a rep in New England. We just said, you know what, wouldn't it be cool to just get, you know, put together some Coronas, because that's what we actually like to use when we start a blend, and, you know, put them out so that we have staggered limited releases, we'll use some of our favorite wrappers, and basically allow people to taste the same Vitola with different wrappers and try to keep the blends as close as possible with the binder and filler, but change it up with wrappers so that you can really see what's the difference, you know, really taste what's going on with the effect of the wrapper and stick to that traditional Cuban Vitola. So that was the idea behind the Corona project. And I started off with a Sumatra, and then the La Fortaleza came out, and that was a really hot Sumatra for us. So I didn't want to use that Sumatra right then. So I started playing with some other wrappers, some other blends, and that kind of took me, like, way off course. And so now I've got, like, 7 different blends that'll work for that Vitola, but we've settled on going using a Connecticut broadleaf dark Maduro that we had done some additional aging and had it under pressure for a while, so it's got really nice uniform dark color to it. So it's a gorgeous cigar.
That's awesome. So when can we expect it?
Well, I'm waiting on labels. And so, okay. We'll talk more about the process of making cigars and some of the headaches that come up. And I probably went back and forth on this label like 6 different times. And, some things came out right, some things came out wrong. And I think we finally got it this time. And so I'm hoping to have it, they're telling me it's on the press now. So, it's kind of like the Cuban language for, it's checks in the mail, it's coming. So it's on the press. I'm expecting it any day. Cigars are done. Boxes are done. Just got to package them up and get them out to the shops.
Nice. Okay. Very cool.
I think we should kick it off with a really good question from Hardley Clarkin. And I think it's a really good one here, George. And it's, what made you want to go to the small batch route instead of working for a large company? And, did you just want to not work for someone specifically, or is it large company politics that keeps you away from that?
Well, I do have a severe aversion to large company politics, so that's a given. But really, it's about freedom, right? So you want to be able to do what I want to do, not worry about kind of what a bigger company wants to put out on the market. I do this. It's a passion play, right? And you guys know this, right? And you guys have a passion for it. So it's all about, what I feel I want to bring out to the smokers. And, if I'm doing stuff with other bigger factory or bigger company, I don't have that sort of freedom. So kind of 2 things, I want to be off on my own. I want to be doing this in an independent fashion. And I want to be doing it with someone who's like-minded. And that's why I was lucky enough to meet William Ventura, who had also had left the big company world of Davidoff to do his own thing. So, we're like-minded from the beginning, and his factory is about as boutique as it gets, right? And we're talking like, on any given day about 7 to 10 pairs of rollers, and that's it. So yes, it's all about the freedom and about doing what we want to do. So that's why.
Cool.
That's a great question. I got a question. This is a Logan personal question. I know because I want to know if you think about like just powerful people in the U.S., right? I mean, you'd say obviously Barack Obama and the scheme of the world is very powerful, right? Like has a lot of influence. Who would you say the most influential person is in the cigar industry and why?
The most influential person.
Or group, right? I mean, is it Plasencia or Aganorsa because they grow tobacco that no one else can get? Is it certain factories like Plasencia because they just make a balls ton of cigars, like, and they can control the new guys because a lot of guys make their cigars, new guys make their cigars at Plasencia? What do you think?
From my experience, I'd say guys like Davidoff, Fuente, I still think they're the big dogs. Even a lot of people are in Nicaragua now, but as far as the industry is concerned, I mean, those guys are just such giants, right? And I know from my experience, there's certain tobaccos that we want to get or we want to use, and, they've got dibs on them, right? So, companies like that, for sure. And then you have other companies like, to be honest with you, like Cigars International, right? These huge retailers. So there's a ton of money in that business, cigar discounting, frankly. And, you know, they have a huge, huge audience. And they can help make or break a brand pretty much overnight if they wanted to. So that's power, right?
Yeah.
And no matter what you say about them in terms of them being an online distributor, you know, AJ Fernandez would not be AJ Fernandez without Cigars International.
Period. This is true. This is very true. That's a good answer. I was thinking you were going to take it a different way, but, I mean, it's true. I mean, they do have a lot of clout, and now if they're owned by, I mean, I don't know, Swedish Match or whoever it is now, or General, I mean, that obviously plays into that as well. So, I mean, a question, and Surgeon, I'll ask one, and then you ask one, we can just rotate back and forth.
Yeah.
This is from Colton Reed. He recently bought a box of cigars from a company, and a few of the cigars had beetle holes. You know, one, when you're making cigars, what is the best way to prevent tobacco beetles in the cigar manufacturing process? And then what's the best way to prevent it once you receive the cigars?
Okay. So avoiding it to begin with, you got to work with trusted growers and trusted tobacco processing plants. So, you know, I do business in the Dominican Republic primarily because I have relationships there. You know, and we get great product, and I know how these guys work their farms. I know how they do the fermentation. I know how passionate they are and how, quite frankly, fanatical they are about their tobacco. And so I know from every step of the way that they're doing everything that they can to mitigate that because it means a lot to them and to their customers, and economically it would crush them if they had any of those issues. Once it's into the factory, there is a fumigation process that goes on. And so, you know, depending on how long you're sitting in the aging room, you know, you do have to fumigate in there. And I don't know what the times are, and I'm told or whatever, but I forget. But that's what you'll be doing inside of the factory once the cigars are made to avoid that. Kind of moving on when you're, you know, actually get them to your home, to your humidor. My friend Jim Robinson from Leaf and Bean in Pittsburgh, he uses this, I forget what it's called. I'm sure if you Google it, you'll probably find it. But it's like a little card that's sticky, and it sticks on the wall, and it actually will attract any tobacco beetle.
Huh.
And so if it does get to a condition where some of those you know, eggs will hatch or whatever, and it's not a lot, right? It's not enough that it'll affect your cigars. But even, like, it's really weird. Sometimes you'll see just a couple. I've seen them in other places too. You'll see just a few little specks, right? And you know, that's again another way to mitigate that. Some people will freeze their cigars and then acclimate them again, you know, back into to room temperature. I've seen a lot of people do that. I don't really have the patience for that, and I haven't had any issues myself. So, but if I were running a store, I definitely would get some of these tobacco beetle, like fly tape sort of things. But it doesn't. It's not a tape. It's like a little card that sticks up on the wall. You put it in different places. If I had a big humidor, I would put a few of those in there because you're getting cigars from everybody from everywhere. You know, I know where my cigars are coming from. So.
That's great. I need to look that up because I'm very curious. Was that the timer, Surgeon?
That was the timers. That's our break, Logan. So we need to take a shout out to our sponsors here.
So yeah, we'll pause everyone and come back after this word from our sponsors. All right, everyone, we're back with Cigar Chat. We're here with George from Rodrigo Cigars. In a very interesting cigar chat, basically, you ask George anything, you will get an answer. And I'm very surprised we haven't gotten more burning questions. And there's so many that I want to ask, but I was swore that I won't ask anything because I want to leave it up to the audience. So this next segment is brought to us by the Project 7 in the Cigar Federation store. It's the first of the factory direct boutique line, where the idea behind the cigar was to provide a boutique cigar, same quality that you smoke every single day, but strip out the packaging, strip out the band, strip out any frills or marketing, and just provide you a great quality cigar at a good price. Check them out on the store.cigarfederation.com. 5-pack for a Toro made by Noel Rojas runs $25, and a 15-count Mezo runs $60. So either $4 to $5, depending on which one you do. It's a great value. Check it out, store.cigarfederation.com. So, George, we're back. So, great answer about the tobacco beetles. I love that one. I'm going to definitely Google that later.
I would have to look up that strip. That could be a top seller coming up.
I know, yeah. Exactly.
I'll have to talk to my buddies and see where they got it from. You can post it later.
Awesome. Surgeon, you're up.
Yeah, we have a good question from Mike Poozen. I don't think this question's actually been asked before. George, in your travels, what do you personally feel are some of the best cigar cities out there? And is there anything you've been surprised by or any that stand out as being particularly rude?
Okay, so best cigar cities. I would say definitely Houston, Texas. I've spent a lot of time there and some great shops there. They do it right. You know, they have places like Santa Barbara, Cigars, Stogies, Smoke Ring. These guys, they do it right. And there are a few other places where you can smoke in Houston, but those come to mind. And first, I'm in Atlanta right now, and I spent about half of my time here. The interesting thing about Atlanta is that they passed a law where you can, if you own a bar or a restaurant, you can choose whether you're going to be smoking or not smoking. So you have a lot of establishments that you can smoke in, a lot of different bars. And there are cigar bars here, so there's really no shortage of the place where you can hang out and smoke. The flip side to that, and this is an interesting dichotomy, flip side to that is you'll get a lot of places that call themselves cigar bars, but they're more bar than they are cigar. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, didn't they actually just have a very famous one in Houston close the smoking capabilities just a couple of months ago?
That was Downing Street, and I guess they got some pressure from their neighbors and from their landlord, and they chose to be, not fight that, and I don't know the whole story, but it is a real shame because they were a beautiful cigar bar. Now you can't smoke there anymore, so that was kind of the epicenter of a place where you can really enjoy that whole cigar and spirits environment. And so, kind of going back to, other cities, what I find that cities that aren't cigar friendly, you'll find pockets of places where the cigar community is really concentrated then, right? So it's kind of like, if you're going to drive us out of our regular bars and places we'd like to hang out, the places that do cater to cigar smokers, well, they become, kind of the old taverns, right, where people get together and, they enjoy cigars, right? So it becomes more of a concentrated community, I find, in those cities where, smoking is not prevalent or it's not friendly at all.
They can ban you, but they can't keep you down.
Exactly, right, I don't care what happens, FDA, this, that, or other, whatever. I'm going to keep making cigars. You guys are going to keep smoking cigars. This has been going on for 400 years. If I have to, just go from city to city and hang out with people in their backyards and have, backyard barbecue, cigar hearths, that's what we'll do. So
Cigar Federation, you heard it here first. George is coming to your backyard for a smoke book barbecue. Right. Get those dates in.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the great question. So, this next one comes from, this is a new guy, Barry Bauman, and he said, I've heard the term young tobacco and fresh tobacco, and I think what he's referring to is the youngness of the tobacco versus, it being fresh as freshly rolled. Can you describe the difference of those?
Okay, so young tobacco is tobacco that's not completely fermented, right? So you'll get a lot of ammonia. You guys been to a cigar factory before. You've seen the process. Yeah, exactly. Like even in an aging room, you're going to get a lot of that ammonia just kind of hitting you. But it refers to the levels of ammonia in the cigar, right? So back in the boom, you had a lot of cigars that were pushed out to the market really fast and made with young tobacco. And that's what you get, that distinct aroma of ammonia, right? Not very pleasurable at all. What was the other term that he used?
Fresh, like, fresh. I mean, I think what he's referring to is like whenever you have, like when you roll a cigar, you wet fresh down ones, the yeah. binder and the wrapper so it won't like break apart. And whenever you burn, it's in its sick period, right? I think he's trying to understand the difference because he's heard the terms yeah. interchangeably used.
So, like, if you try and actually use a cutter on a fresh cigar, you can't, right? Like, the blades won't cut through the cigar because it's still too moist, and it just kind of, like, you know, grabs it and, like, mushes it up together. So, the purpose of aging the cigar in an aging room, the main purpose is to get that moisture out of the cigar so the tobacco is married together. And you get a nice burning smoke. Okay, so that's yeah.
my there you go.
Pressure.
There you go. Yeah. Surgeon. Go ahead and finish up, George.
I was going to say we test smoke fresh cigars all the time, right? And that's when we're blending cigars. You know, it's a lot like working in the kitchen, right? And blending cigars is a lot like you ever put salt on watermelon, right? Mm-hmm. It gives it a very distinct, different flavor. You put pepper on watermelon, it gives it a different, distinct flavor, right? Those two things alone taste differently, but together you get something that's completely different. But when we're blending cigars, obviously we're using fresh rolled cigars, fresh tobacco, and then we'll smoke them again later on. We like that blend.
Cool. All right, well, moving right along, we have a good question from CRA James here, who's being a punk in chat, but we'll ask his question anyways. And the question is, if the cigar gods told you could make any cigar with any ingredient, so any tobacco from any origin in the world, any size you wanted, but you had to sacrifice either Logan or Rob, who would you toss into the fire?
Who?
And what ultimately would you make for a cigar?
Well, tossing in the fire is easy because Rob's not here.
And he's just the obvious choice.
He's
a lizard.
Walked right into that one. So
exactly.
You're out. These guys at least showed up today for me. Okay. So
there you go.
As far as what I'd like to use, I really like Brazilian Arapiraca, and I haven't been able to do much with it. We had some at the factory, but not nearly enough to really do anything with it, but I really enjoy that type of tobacco. So definitely I want to do something with a true Brazilian Arapiraca. We had an Ecuadorian Arapiraca, and that was very nice. Actually, a lot of people like that wrapper, but had some issues cultivating it, so we're not able to get that anymore out of Ecuador. The other one that I really want to do something with is I want to do a puro with Corojo Original, which is the original Corojo strand. And there's only two people that I know of on the planet that have this seed. One is Christian Aurora, and the other is Leo Reyes, the Dominican. And so both of those guys say that they're the only people that have it still. But, apparently both of them have this particular strain of seed from Cuba. And I've smoked it before, and I rolled it up into a puro, and it was amazing. I just loved it. It had, just standing on its own. It was really cool. So I'd like to make a cigar like that with that original strain and put it out to the public and say, here you go. This is one type of tobacco, the original Corojo. Smoke it and let me know what you think. So I think that would be uber cool to do something like that.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
So
and size, I would say Corona or Lancero.
Nice.
Like a Corona Gorda or something like that.
That's what I would have said as well.
I love
Corona Gorda.
I've been making Lanceros. I mean, my first Lancero that I'm smoking now, I made this like 3.5 years ago, right? So now everybody's making Lanceros, but I've always been a fan. people tell me, you know, why are you doing it, you know, 3.5 years ago? It's not going to sell. It's not going to sell. But I don't know. I guess I just don't care. And I like to make stuff that I like to smoke. Yeah.
You do what you want because you're George.
Well, that's why it goes back to the first question. You know, why the hell am I doing this independently, right? So, otherwise, you know, if I wanted to just do what the man says, and that's what I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys, right?
So. No, exactly. Exactly. So, I've got to ask, and I know that it's probably overplayed, but Jason Hill, you know, there's a lot of questions around the FDA, and I mean, we have 30 days before, or I think it's 27 days before their response and the deeming document. In your humble opinion, being a cigar industry insider, how do you think, do you believe cigars will get the exception, or do you think we'll be lumped in with hookahs and all that other nasty crap? And if we are lumped in, do you see cigars going to $10, and what other restrictions do you see coming down, if any at all?
So, my gut feeling is that in the long run things will be correct, and I think that, you know, premium cigars will prevail. But what I think that might happen in the short term is we might have a setback. So I'm concerned about that, where, you know, just like when you have certain legislation on the state level, you know, where they say, okay, well, you can't ship cigars to Maryland, and it's kind of like a knee-jerk reaction and stuff, but then eventually people get behind and say, whoa, hey, you know, we're going to appeal this, you know, this isn't right, you know, you need to, and that's the beauty of our country, that we can do that, right? So I'm concerned about the short term, but I think long term that what's right will prevail, and that our freedoms will be protected, because it's America, man.
Yeah. America.
It is. Right. It is America. But, I mean, I just, me personally, like, I feel like there is, and this is just me, this is Logan's personal opinion, this is not the truth, this is just speculation, but, you know, I read, unfortunately, on an airplane flight, read a majority of the deeming document, and the way I look at it is that, you know, it's real. I mean, yes, if cigars go to $10, everyone's going to $10. You know, manufacturers are or the growers are going to raise their price. If you work with a factory, they're going to raise their price. And it's ultimately going to get passed down to the end consumer, right? That's what's going to happen. But I feel that, especially with, you know, Jeff Borshowitz leaving and the new guy for CRA, whoever, the Ashton guy, I don't remember his name. But I feel like if you're a boutique manufacturer and you've started within the last 4 to 5 years, you're in a much tighter position if cigars do go to $10. Or if you have to certify your blends and you're not grandfathered in, then, you know, someone like Rocky Patel has been making crap for 10 years, right? So, unfortunately, we have to take a break, and Surgeon didn't give me a warning. So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back to that question after the break. All right, everyone, we're back with Cigar Chat, broadcast on Armed Forces Radio Network. Before the break, I asked a very insightful question, and unfortunately, Surgeon, conscious Canadian, didn't tell me that we had a break coming up.
Threw you right under the bus. Couldn't interrupt you.
Dude, I know. So I'll summarize very quick. Is I feel that a lot of the bigger players in the industry aren't so worried about the FDA regulations because they'll be grandfathered in and everything, where a smaller manufacturer like yourself, who maybe isn't going to have a blend certified or, you know, grandfathered in, is going to be in a much tighter spot. How do you feel the overall sentiment is between a bigger manufacturer versus a smaller boutique manufacturer?
I don't know. You know, if that's what happens, I kind of just think of the, you know, we go into stick it to the man, you know, mode. And, you know, this is just kind of how I feel. But like I said, I'm not going to stop doing what I do. It might get out to people differently, right? I mean, I don't see how, you know, we can, as Americans, we can, you know, we have to stop doing what we enjoy in the privacy of our own homes. You know, maybe it'll affect what's out there commercially, but, you know, I'm not going to stop doing this, right? And I don't know if I'm answering your question or not, but it's just, you know, like I said, I'm concerned about the short term, I think in the end that people will step up, that politicians will wake up and see that, you know, this really is an infraction on our freedoms. As far as a $10 thing, I think it's arbitrary. You know, it's kind of it's silly. You know, is there a conspiracy with big cigar companies to get rid of us little guys?
That was my question. That was the meaning behind my question. So that you're there.
Yeah. You know, maybe somewhat. I mean, you know, this is business, and you don't have to play fair in business, right? As long as you're not breaking any laws, you know, everything's fair. So, you know, yeah, I'm sure there's some of that. But again, you know, people want what they want, and they're going to get it, you know. So I just hope that the industry can survive, and people like me and other cigar makers don't get discouraged by it. I mean, what we do is, you know, we have product that's made with passion, and you know, you can't get that everywhere, right? I mean, I'd rather make a product that, you know, instead of saying you can buy this anywhere from anybody, I'd rather have a product that I can say, I have a product here that you can't buy from everybody. You can only buy it from me and from a few select people that get behind what we're doing and have the same passion for what we're about. And, you know, what we're about is all about the smoker. You know, I really don't care about anything else but what the smoker enjoys, right? I want you to pick up a Rodrigo. I want you to experience the same thing that I do, you know, which is, you know, pure relaxation, enjoyment, you know, getting yourself into that Zen mode and experiencing that with friends. So we're going to do that one way or another, you know. And like I said, I don't care if we have to do private parties in different parts of the country, and you buy a ticket, and lo and behold, you get a bundle of cigars. You know, that's what we'll do until the law gets reversed and gets corrected. So anyway, that's
speaking of bundles of cigars there, George, Logan forgot to mention that this segment was brought to you by Rodrigo Cigars, which are on special in the cigar store, featured till Sunday, June 15th. So everyone get clicking, get on. That special's not going to last June 15th, so you only have a couple days.
Okay, yes. Thank you, sir. Cigars and politics, and by the way, I make cigars and Cigar Federation sells them.
So. And buy them right now, please. Thank you.
Buy them right now.
Yes.
You're up, Surgeon. What do you got?
Right. Well, we have an interesting question here from NV Mike W, and he's talking a little bit about your Factory Fresh test program. Yep. And you mentioned that unfortunately it looked like the program got canceled due to lack of participation. Can you talk a little bit about the program and maybe a little bit behind why it didn't go forward?
Yeah, sure. So the Factory Fresh thing was actually my attempt to crowdsource a blend. You know, I thought it was going to be a cool way to, you know, kind of get some blends out there to some of the smokers who said, okay, you know, they want to experience what it's like for a cigar to come off the bench, have different blends to taste, you know, 30, 60, 90 days out. And we did that. We delivered the cigars and everything. It was about 80 people who participated overall. And I guess that, so Mike is one of those fanatics that actually wanted to see all this come together. He was in the minority, and I sold these cigars really cheap. Like, they worked out to be like, you know, $3 or $4 each or something like that. And quite frankly, in the end, I kind of hate to say this, but I think people were just looking for a good bargain, and they were happy to get cheap smokes. And, you know, maybe they didn't want to think about the cigars that much when it came down to it. And I didn't push them. You know, I didn't, like, nag people to say, hey, you didn't fill out your form, go do it. And, you know, I appreciated people that did give me the feedback. And we did end up having some data that we could work with to select a blend. But it was still inconclusive. And the one wrapper that everybody really liked actually was that Ecuadorian Arapiraca, which is not being produced anymore. So go figure. Those are the things you deal with as a boutique cigar manufacturer when you don't have control over your tobacco. Now, we embrace that, though, right? I mean, you know, certain things that we make, we know that we're going to be able to continue to make, like the Habano Clásico, La Fortaleza, Boutique Blend. Those are all blends that are, you know, we can get that tobacco over and over again. Some of the more experimental stuff, it could be here today and gone tomorrow. I mean, we started La Fortaleza, which is our full-bodied stick, with actually with a, it was a Dominican Puro. We had great experience with the first couple bales of wrapper. Next couple bales that came in were complete crap. You know, we couldn't yield enough out of it to make it economical for anybody. So we'd have to charge a lot of money for that cigar because we were discarding a lot of the wrapper. So we had to switch, thank God, to an Ecuadorian Sumatra, and I was very open and upfront about this. But that Ecuadorian Sumatra is something that, you know, something that I use. You'll see it on a lot of other cigars, whether it's Nicaraguan or whatever. But it's a great wrapper that we can continue to use. So the whole factory fresh thing, I think, is a great concept. I really apologize to those that were really into the concept, and they know that. I sent out the message to them about that. Maybe we'll try to get in a different way. Maybe I should charge like $20 a cigar so I only get like the fanatics, right? So
oh, yeah.
I
don't, do it.
Right. Yeah. That. So anyway, that's that. But I thank the people who did participate tremendously.
George, next question about rings or about cigar labels. From my, so first of all, the main players in the industry that are in the labels, we have Cigar Rings, there's Action Label, and then what's the other big one? The one that's out of Holland or whatever.
Oh, Friday.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that dealing with all the cigar bands is one of the most frustrating things in the cigar industry, in making a cigar. Why is that? And why is it so frustrating?
Why is it frustrating? I can tell you why it's frustrating for me is, you know, you're in today's age, like you're producing something on a computer for one, right? And you see it on a monitor and you're like, oh, that's the color I like, right? I want this particular red. And then you go to print it and it's not the same red, right? And then you go and say, and I've done this before, and I've said, okay, this is the red that I want. I'm going to ship you a bottle of Stoli, and that's the red that I want, okay? So look at the color before you get drunk, please, and that's the color I want you to reproduce, you know, because I can give you the numbers and all that stuff, whatever, red 186 and this and that, but still, when you put all this stuff together, you don't quite know how it's going to come together. That can be frustrating. There's certain processes that each one of them use. Some of them are, you know, would use a gold foil, some gold ink. Some of them would use a UV coating, some won't. Some use the gold dust, which is a really high-end effect that you'll see out of the. It's more the Dutch process that Radag and Cigar Rings do. Cigar Rings is in Santiago. And guys in Florida can't do that because it's actually illegal in the U.S., you know, whatever that chemical makeup is of that. So, you know, and you really don't know what it looks like until it's done. So you work with experienced people, you get your own experience, and you eventually you know, okay, this will look great with gold ink, or this will look great with gold foil, or we need to use gold dust on this with a mixture of ink, this, that, and whatever, right? It takes time, it takes experience to get that right. And you got to have the right sizing, etc. You know, if you want a band that is its own unique die cut, that's more expensive. You know, is there something that you can use that they already have in-house? All those little things add up to cost and time and experimentation. So it's expensive and it's very important, right? People don't want to say that they smoke the label, but the label is part of the art of the cigar. And art, or I guess cigars, are art. They're smokable art, right? And so just to kind of expand on that, I mean, people say, you know, do you think that there are too many boutique cigar companies out there, too many boutique cigars? And I say, no, no way. You know, I think that there's room for 1,000 more. Because it's kind of like saying there's too much music in the world or there's too much art in the world, right? I say, you know, keep bringing it on, and passionate people make beautiful products. So,
great answer. Surgeon, how much time do we have? And fire away with your next question.
I'm going to squeeze one more question in here, George, while we get a little bit of time. Sure. There's a lot of questions on here about pressures, about ring gauge sizes. There's obviously this, although 2014 seems to be the year of the Lancero, there's been this market pressure to go bigger and bigger with cigars. So it's kind of a two-part question. One, do you feel yourself ever caving to that pressure? You're obviously a Corona man, Lancero man, which is awesome. We applaud that. Do you ever feel pressure to cave in? And number two, do you ever feel pressure on upcoming events like the IPCPR to maybe rush something before it's ready to meet that deadline?
Okay, so first of all, I'll never make a 7x7 cigar. I'll never. it's silly to me. It looks stupid. It feels stupid, and this is my opinion, right? I mean, some people it's they love it, but. You know, when I think of cigar smoking, and what originally got me attracted to the world of cigars is actually, you know, people like Zeno Davidoff, right? You know, the cigar is something to be enjoyed. It's you know, part of these frutata, right? You enjoy it with all of your senses, through your palate, through your nose, through your hands, by looking at it, right? And something of that size just takes away all of the elegance, right? They say, you know, elegancia is in la ceniza. The elegance is in the ash, right? So all those things, you know, the big ring gauges don't do that for me. And flavor-wise, they don't do anything for me either. But I like something that's a little more concentrated. You know, I'm not drinking, you know, a Long Island iced tea that's got a whole bunch of different ingredients in it. I'm drinking, you know, rye bourbon neat, right? That's me. That's my palate. That's what
is that your go-to for pairing, George?
I wouldn't say it's my go-to for pairing. My go-to actually is more the Dominican rums, like the aged like Brugal Añejo, or from Spain. There's Dos Madeiras, which I really, really love. So that would be my go-to. I don't do the Guatemalan or the Nicaraguan rums as much. I find them to be sweeter, which is fine, but they're... To my palate, they're very sweet. They are very enjoyable. So anyway, no on the large, super large ring gauges, and as far as doing anything for like IPCPRs, you know, or for the business end of things, I don't believe in that whatsoever. I'm actually opting out of IPCPR this year, and you know I'll tell you why.
George, 1 second. Since we're up on a break, let's take a quick break and let's get into that on the last segment. So everyone on AFRN, appreciate you guys listening in. We'll see you next week. I believe we have La Serena Cigars. George, appreciate you coming on, taking the time to chat with us, and appreciate you dropping all the knowledge.
Sure.
All right.
Thanks for having
me. No problem. All right, now we're fucking back and we can cuss as much as we want. So it's over. So what the fuck? You're not going to the trade show?
What the hell, man?
What's up with this?
Okay, so let me ask, is this going to be on YouTube or is this just
This is
live?
On YouTube.
Yeah, we're still live.
We're still live. We'll be on YouTube.
We're still live.
All right, but we don't have to worry about the AFR and all that.
No,
I'm not going. And it was a tough decision, but actually, no, it wasn't a tough decision. I'm lying. It was a really easy decision. When I look at what I enjoy most about making cigars is that I enjoy being in the factory. I enjoy coming up with cigars, smoking them, hanging out with the people that I love and doing that. You know, Henderson Ventura, his father William, the other folks in the factory, and just a whole community in Santiago. And I love being able to come back to the U.S. with a brown paper wrapped bundle of cigars and saying, hey, I want you to try this, right? And if someone smokes it, they try it, and you see them say, this is the shit, right? And that, to me, that is my nirvana when it comes to smoking cigars, making cigars, and smoking cigars. When I deal with I'll make a clear distinction here. Okay, there are retailers, and there are tobacconists. Okay,
they're true.
I can have that same experience with the tobacconist, and that's who I want to focus on, is the tobacconist. I know who those tobacconists are already, so I don't need to go to the show, spend a whole lot of money standing around pretending like I'm a big company when all I really care about is those 100 tobacconists, okay? So I can communicate with them. I can give them my best stuff. I can, you know, have a relationship with them. But quite frankly, just like a good friend of mine, you know, Tony Bellotto, who runs Havana House in Youngstown, Ohio, which is one of the best shops on the planet, in my opinion, where you can get craft wine, craft beer, and boutique cigars all under one roof and hang out with really cool people. You know, Tony is there, and he's running around to, you know, go over to Oliva first, and he's got to go to Davidoff, and he's got to go to Fuente, and he's got to go to these big guys to get the deals and all that stuff. That's what those retailers are there for, and sometimes they'll have time to meet with us little guys. But what I find is just that, you know, I have a much better time going over to the Tony shop, hanging out with him, concentrating on him and his customers, and building those relationships in that way. I can't build a relationship with a retailer who comes up to my booth and says, I got 2 seconds, give me some samples, okay, I'll see you later. You know, it's not fun for me, for one, and I don't think it's cost effective, right, for me at this time, right? And again, what I cater to and what I care about, the only thing that I care about, is I care about you guys. I care about you, the smoker. That's it. If I do right by you, you'll bring me into the right shops, and I do care about retailers, and I care about tobacconists because we need a place to smoke, okay? And the people that are out there educating and that are helping you bring your enjoyment to the next level, you know, I'll walk through the gates of hell for that guy, okay? But for the guy who walks up and says, what do you got, you know, what kind of discount you're going to give me today, how many free boxes, that's not me. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to make a good fucking cigar for you, okay, and for you to enjoy it, okay? That's all I care about. So I want to get back to basics, right? So I think that for a while there, I kind of, you know, spread out some, and, you know, you kind of start to act like a big company and this and that, and, you know, there's kind of the fake it till you make it sort of thing. Well, that's, I'm being true to who I am, and that's it. You know, I'm a small batch boutique cigar maker who is trying to run a company that's going to last for 100 years, okay? And whether my kids know it or not, they will be working in the tobacco industry for at least some time. So whether they want to or not, actually, that's not true. Some of them will and some won't. But, you know, that's what I'm about. And to me at this time, the retail convention, the IPCPR, isn't congruent with me and where my heart is. So that's a
bummer, George.
Why is it a bummer though?
Well, it would have been a great opportunity to miss you, but I think you're, you know, everyone in chat is super behind what you're saying.
I'd much rather, you know, like I said, go to certain shops that are, you know, known for being supportive of boutiques and supportive of the community, and spend time there. Like when I was just in Chicago and hanging out at Blue Havana, right? Uber boutique shop. Everybody that's in there, you know, they get it, right? The tobacconist there, Connie, like, he gets it. And I'd rather spend time traveling, going to visit those guys one-on-one, and quite frankly, instead of selling just a few boxes to someone who doesn't really care that much, selling a lot more and getting my cigars into a lot more hands through a retailer that's focused on real craft product, right? Product that's made by, you know, people who stand behind their products, behind their craft, who have passion behind it. You know, my whole mantra is form follows passion. Everything that's done here is because of passion that has come through me and through the people that I work with. I mean, there is just no bullshit whatsoever about, you know, the cigars that we make. You know, I want to get back to the factory and get back to basics in terms of learning more about making cigars and making them even better for people, right? That's all I want to do, and I want to be able to share that. And hopefully I can inspire other people to do the same thing, you know, whether it's cigars or whether it's something else. You know, if you have a passion around something, do it, right? It's in your heart. You've got to reach out. You've got to take that first step. You know, journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step, right? So I'm rambling all over the place, but you know, I think I'm trying to get across that why I do this, you know, what I care about, you know. The tagline, Rodrigo is my amigo, I mean, that just, it's not because it rhymes and it sounds cute. I mean, I really mean that, you know. I'm here to share cigars with my friends. And quite frankly, I'd rather have 100 people who absolutely love my cigars than 100,000 people who are mediocre about it. Simple as that, you know. And from there, we'll continue to grow. Like I said, this is a long, long marathon for me. You know, and my intention is for Rodrigo to be around for 100 years. You know, I don't know if other companies feel that way. You know, I don't know if you come out with a boutique cigar and it has some kind of funky packaging and this and that and funky names and all that, and they could last for 100 years, but I guarantee you it's not because they have some funky packaging and, you know, and some crazy names and shit like that, right? It's because it's the quality and the passion that's behind the actual product.
So. Damn, George, I think you got 42 guys in chat here are going to start up a fan club after this.
Amigo.
You know, there is a club. I mean, there's the Rodrigo Amigos, which if you go to RodrigoCigars.com/amigos, you can sign up for it there. And, you know, when you do, just make sure that you whitelist the, you know, my email address so that you get all of the updates and everything, because when I come back from the Dominican, like I mentioned, you know, I have certain blends that I want to share with people, and I will just randomly send them out to people sometimes. You know, I just did yesterday for some new Lanceros that we're working on that will probably only show up to one hearth in New York City, and that's probably it. But I love doing shit like that. I absolutely love it. It's my favorite part of the business. Panhandling to 1,000 cigar shops to say, please put my cigar on your shelf, I don't give a shit about that. I really don't care. And in today's day and age, if you want to get my cigars, you can go to CigarFederation.com to the store, and you can get them, right? But
exactly.
You know, doing that. Let me tell you, man, anybody who's thinking of doing a cigar company, I'll tell you this. Making a cigar is actually the easy part, right? Getting it onto shelves and getting people to smoke it more than once, that's the hard part. And it's trench warfare. It is nothing but trench warfare. You're going out there, you're
Do we just lose him?
I think we might have just lost him.
On trench warfare?
On trench warfare.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
You were trench warfare, and then you froze up.
It was very poignant.
You know, it's that's what selling to 1,000 retailers is like for a boutique cigar manufacturer. Make sense?
Yeah, makes. Absolutely. I mean, it makes sense. I'm just still kind of absorbing. But yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. Obviously, there's a cost. I mean, depending on what you're trying to do. And I mean, going to the show is not cheap. And if it doesn't align with your goals, then yeah, I mean, I totally see it. I mean, I would have to say that you're probably one of the very few to have the nutsack to actually say that. So I applaud you for that. I don't think too many people follow your philosophy, which I think is what makes you badass. But I mean, I'm still kind of like, holy shit. But no, yeah,
I could be a total idiot, right? But it for me, for what I want to do, like I mentioned in the beginning, this is about independence. It's about passion. It's about my amigos, right? That's what it's about. And, you know, just because I go to the show and put up a booth and backdrop and hand out 1,000 samples, that isn't in line. You know, I quite frankly would rather hand out 1,000 samples to you and to you and to everybody else that's watching, right? You guys will hold that cigar and you'll say, you know what, George gave me this cigar himself, I'm going to smoke it, I'm going to enjoy it, I'm going to think about it, you know, rather than somebody in a store. And you know, I'm probably going to get a ton of shit for saying this, right? Rather than sending it to a store where it's going to end up in the sample box, sitting in somebody's office, drying out, okay? Because that's what happens. If you ever go to a cigar shop, either the staff will smoke it, and that's fine, and I think this guy should smoke as many cigars as he can, but a lot of places, they just end up in a box and they dry out, you know? Here's the truth about cigar sales, right? A retail shop is not going to buy a cigar unless somebody comes in and asks for it over and over and over again, you know? It's not easy for them. You know, they're mom and pop shops. They're doing what they can to run their business, and I don't blame them for that. You know, and a lot of them run really, really good businesses, and they provide a very much needed service for us to have a place to smoke, which is a tremendous service. But when you're running a business like that, you know, your job is to make sure that place stays open for your smokers, and until someone comes in and says, you know, until you feel like you're going to lose business because you don't have a particular cigar, you don't need to buy that cigar, right? So that's how, in my experience, that's how a lot of them operate. And I might get a lot of shit for saying that, saying you don't know what you're talking about because you don't run a store or something like that or whatever, but that's just my opinion and my perspective. And like I said, I'm, you know, I pretty much say what's on my mind and what I feel. And, you know, that's my experience. Opposed to handing somebody who I meet on this, you know, in a shop or a festival or something and giving them a cigar, that's a totally different experience. So,
I mean, I agree. I mean, I've heard stories of a few manufacturers that I know that, you know, got pissed because, oh, you know, you're sending out cigars to, you know, bloggers and new media people. And then, so this manufacturer, on his newest release, proactively sent 5 or 6 cigars that, hey, I want you to be the first one to smoke it. Want to hear what you think? A month or two later, talked to the guy and said, hey, you know, have you smoked it yet? And the guy was like, no, I haven't had time. So,
sure.
So yeah. It rings true. It rings true. Yeah. So, we're going to go ahead and do, real quick, George, we'll let you get your parting words in here in just a second, but we're going to go ahead and do these giveaways. We're just going to do them and make it simple. Serge and I have been keeping tally of who's asked the kind of, and that's how we're doing it. That's how we said we'd do it. So that's the way we're going to roll. And the winners are, in no certain order, we have Colton Reed, Mike Pusin, CRA James, Jason Hill, NV Mike W, which I don't even know who that guy is, but cool, Texas Stick, Cruck, and Surgeon, we need one more. Actually, that is 8. That's 8. Yeah. So we're good. So All of you, email me, Logan@CigarFederation.com, with Rodrigo in the subject line, and then with your full name, address, and I will get you guys set up with your samplers here. So with that being said, George, unfortunately, I wish we could talk for hours, but there's another show on after this with Stogie Geeks. So give us the last, your parting thought. What what do you want to leave us with?
First of all, congratulations to the guys who won. Thank you for your support and for watching. Look, I just want to say that, you know, it's a great ride to be able to do your passion and share it with people. You know, if there's something that you're passionate about, you should go out, you should do it. If I can help you at all, if I can give you any advice or anything, I'm here for you, George@RodrigoCigars.com. You know, when I talk about the Rodrigo Amigos, it's a serious thing. You know, all of you guys are my friends, and I love you guys for it. You know, I want you to pay attention to kind of what's going on with Rodrigo. If you haven't been smoking it, you know, we're making blends that are going to hopefully last for a very, very long time. So I want you to make it your go-to cigar. Make it into your, you know, put it into your go-to rotation. And I would also say pay attention to what's going on in the Dominican Republic right now. So I kind of think of it as a, there's a Dominican Nouveau movement going on. I was just there recently. There's a lot of faces that were showing up there that you don't normally see there. There's actually a lot of people that are in our factory that weren't there last year. Guys like, you know, who are on the cutting edge, like Robert Caldwell, like Eddie Tarazona, you know, Tony Bellotto from La Barba. There's really, really cool stuff going on there. And, of course, you have the leaders like Quesada and like Crown Heads and E.P. Carrillo and those guys doing their thing. Watch what's going on there. There's some really cool, cool stuff happening in the Dominican. And so I guess that's about it. You know, that's the word on the street. I actually went out to the street, and I looked for the word, and that's the word that I found, and I'm sharing that with you. So that's it, man, you know. And if the FDA does screw with us, then, hey, take it to the man. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, well said. So tell everyone where they can find you. I mean, you gave out your email, but where can they find you in social media, your website, and then we'll go ahead and wrap her down for tonight.
Website, RodrigoCigars.com. Instagram and Twitter is Rodrigo Cigars. And you can find me on Facebook also at Rodrigo Cigars, and my personal is George Rodriguez. So that's it. You know, I'm not hard to find. I'm here.
Awesome. Well, George, we appreciate you coming on and taking time to talk with us and be so open, so candid. So, yeah, guys, absolutely. Appreciate you guys watching to another Cigar Chat. We'll be back. We actually have two episodes next week. We have La Serena Cigars on Tuesday, and then we have our favorite Eddie Ortega coming on Thursday, and it'll be interesting to see if he doesn't cuss during the show. That'll be difficult. But, yeah, appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure, if you have not filled out the – I know you guys have gotten a lot of emails around the FDA stuff. Take 2 minutes. Please go put in a comment. You know, protect our rights. Allow us to smoke premium cigars. This is fucking America. We should be able to do it. And if something bad happens and you don't take the time to go make a comment, that's your fucking fault. So with that being said, love you guys. Thanks for watching in. And we'll see you guys next week.
Peace out, good night.
Bye, guys.